Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst, the Trevor Brooking and Billy Bones, a Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United, more than just a podcast, more than just a podcast.
Good evening, good morning, or good afternoon. This is More Than Just a Podcast. Season 7, episode 27. My name is George. I'm back after 2 weeks of absence. I'm here with Sean. Hello, Sean.
Good evening, good morning, or good afternoon, Georgie Georgie.
And I'm here with John. Hello, John.
Hello, George.
Where are you?
I'm in one of our bedrooms at home.
And I'm here with Nigel. Hello, Nigel.
You are, George.
Where are you?
I'm in my shed.
I'll get old, does it?
Does it? Not for me, anyway.
It's getting a bit wear in my end.
We're here to talk about West Ham again. Back after last week's podcast, just you three, you carried the podcast, and we got lots of good feedback. Well. So I just want to say well done and thank you for your hard work and input.
No problem.
Although I did have to spend nearly an hour and a half editing it all.
Yes, actually, you did more work than us.
Yeah, and thank you for the outtakes at the end.
Yes.
That was a really nice surprise. Thanks, George. Yeah.
So a few of those noises I picked up on the way through, and I thought I should pick them out at the end and replay them because they made me chuckle.
They were all Sean making noises.
No, actually, Nigel, one of them was yours.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
The seal impression.
The one who sounded like a seal, that was you.
I've been many things. Tell me I've been a seal.
Talking of animals, let's talk about when we played the Hornets.
Tenuous link. He's a pro.
West Ham 2, Watford 0. This Saturday at home. I didn't go. John didn't go. But Nigel and Sean, you went. So which one of you want to talk us through it?
Sean can, go on.
Sean, go on, Sean.
Well, I'll tell you what, a little bit of a forecast on the weather. As you know, it was really freezing the last time I went to the London Stadium. So I took thermal underwear, a parka coat, I had a thermal hat, I had gloves, I had a scarf, I had ski socks on, and it wasn't that cold and I was roasting, absolutely sweating buckets on there. But at least I was warm. And it was a good game. Yeah, I took the kids. I was down in row 4. Little bit of, as Nigel called it, dry rain, because it was coming down that really fine misty rain. But my kids loved it. They actually watched the whole game. And for once, we seemed to be well up on. You know, we had a really attacking starting lineup. Great to see Arnautovic back with his... a blonde rinse, but I know David Moyes called it a purple rinse. And he just seemed to be well up for it and everything resolved around him. You know, early on, we're almost in line with that first goal by Hernandez that wasn't. I took a video of myself and I thought it should have stood and wasn't offside and the lino got it wrong. But obviously... our hard work, we seemed to be playing well, we seemed to be working well as a team, went 1-0 up. you know, through a Hernandez header. Second half, I thought we let them come back into it. And I must admit, I was getting a bit nervous going, typical West Ham, we've led the first half, you know, we've worked really hard. Second half, we sort of let them come, we were defending way too deep. And I thought, here comes the goal. They're going to just get it on the break. And then, of course, the Arnautovic goal settled it, 2-0, and we could have got 3 or 4, to be honest. Arnautovic, by the way, should have buried 2 in the first half, and he could have got a hat-trick. You know, he missed 2, probably. The first 2 that he missed were probably harder than the third one he got in the end. I know it was a bit of a scrappy goal, but I thought we could have won 3 or 4-0. Good day in the office, good win, massive 3 points. And everyone was really happy, including my children. So, a good day at the London Stadium. And do you know what? The atmosphere, we'll talk about the trouble a bit later, but the atmosphere was really good. We were singing, we were celebrating, we were banging our feet. We were banging our feet on that.
That is menacing, that, isn't it? You don't get that anywhere else in the country.
That is menacing. That is menacing. But yeah, I thought it was a good game. I haven't seen a win at the London Stadium for quite a while. So it was nice to get the win, and especially before we play Liverpool. But you know, the stats. I know you say the stats are boring, but the interesting for me is we only have 36% possession. Yeah, but we played that well, and we only have 36% possession, which I thought was quite
go
interesting.
Go on, why was it interesting?
Interesting.
Nobody
because
cares.
Because I thought
it's
we
boring.
Had a lot of possession.
It ain't interesting.
Cool,
come on,
poor
speed
missus.
It up, speed it up. We're on the clock here today.
All right, you tell us your view from
from
the
upstairs
heavens.
Where the air was thin. Yeah, we won 2-0. Good game. Thought we played well. Really pleased. Bit scrappy second goal, but still, we take the win. Right, we've done the stats. What's next?
Lige, you're in a good mood. You're in a good mood tonight.
Oh, dear, my lord.
John, you watched it as well, didn't you?
What was the view from the TV like?
From your sixth bed.
It was all right eventually. Yeah, it was good.
Was it offside?
I didn't show it. Anyway, on the stream, obviously, I didn't show it as a line straight down. That is available, that, but I'd never see a replay, not even on Match of the Day. But I thought it was questionable. I thought it was like one of those, like the old Kevin Nolan head at Man United the other season. It's one of those, you get them and you don't get them. We tend not to get them that often. But it was a shame. It would have been it was a good finish as well. But he done well, Hernandez. What difference Arnautovic makes, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
We did let him back into it. Like second half, De La Feu always looked dangerous. I was pleased to see them take
good player,
him off.
Isn't he?
He is. And they had a lot of possession, but we seemed controlled and they didn't really...
67% possession, apparently.
they didn't really threaten that much, did they? I don't really remember that Adrian made in 2. Yeah, I know he had one save early on.
He had a couple of saves.
He didn't seem to be that busy. And yeah, it was, you know, second goal killed it.
Well, they had 4 shots on target. I wasn't allowed to read that stat out, so he must have made 4 saves.
Yeah.
He made a good save from a free kick, didn't he, from memory?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Yeah, he did, yeah. Punched it out.
That was De La Feu again. It's just...
you're a miserable bastard.
Their keeper should have held it for our one as well, shouldn't they?
Yeah.
He messed up there. But, yeah, it was great. It was a great result. But it is strange how we seem to, you know, at the moment we take what we get, don't we, at the moment, and we just got to get down, we've got to get another season, we've got to get behind us and just get through it and stay in the league. But
yeah,
you'd like to see us be able to dominate a bit more possession at home in the future.
Well, here's one thing. Watford beat Chelsea 4-1 midweek. We beat them 2-0, so that means we're better than Chelsea. Chelsea are the reigning champions of the Premier League. So therefore, yeah, we're better than the reigning
I'm
champions.
I'm watching them now, and they should be 2-0 down against West Brom at home. So they're not playing.
Oh, really?
But on that basis, Brighton beat us 3-1. So Brighton then better than us and better than Chelsea.
Yeah, good point.
All right.
Cheers, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, I saw bits of the game. And I saw an article today, I think someone, I can't remember who it was, but it was on the West Ham website, someone highlighting how good counter-attacking football we played. But I'm not sure we want to play counter-attacking football forever at home.
No, at home.
But like John just said, we'll take what we get at the minute. So 3 points in the bag, move on, good win, a little bit of a break now. And
30 points.
We'll do record 3 more wins.
Yeah.
Do it.
I think so. Moving on then, still relative to the Watford game, Sean. You were all over this.
I was.
And you have been since, I believe.
Yeah.
Block 114, there was a little bit of trouble. We sit in block 113, so it's next to us, towards the away fans. Talk us through what happened.
Well, I mean, as you know, block 114 was, a lot of them were moved out to the Trevor Brooking lower when the problem with Chelsea happened. And they've slowly given some of the seats back, but not all of them. There's still a big segregation. But there's not been a lot of trouble there. And then what happened was the offside goal, which happened on 31 minutes, we obviously celebrated it because we thought it was a goal, right? We didn't see the silly Lino with his flag up. So we're celebrating it. And of course, Watford fans take the piss out of us, quite rightly so, that we're celebrating and are making wanker signs and waving to us. Right. And apparently two guys, a father and son, make some signals and some gestures to the fans, all part of football. And suddenly you see a response team come in and a load of police, which is a little bit heavy handed. So I didn't think anything of it. Anyway, about 5 minutes later, a father and son join me in row 4, right next to me. And they say they were the two individuals, and they say, look, we made some gestures to the away fans. What's football come to if we can't do that? The security wanted to chuck us out and eject us just for that. You know, all sounds a bit... So again, security sort of pointing to them and sort of spotted where they were. They scarpered again. It was getting on for half time. And as we went up to the concourse, it all went off in the concourse. You've seen some of the videos. I sent you some, but there's been other ones on social media. The police go and the stewards seemed to go in really heavy-handed to eject these two people. Other people got involved. There were 3 arrests. Beer was being thrown at the police. There were scuffles. And you've seen some of the footage. It just seemed very toxic again, and it seemed an overreaction. Now, I have spoken to someone at the club today, and there's always two stories. I can't go into details because, unfortunately, this is before a court now, and therefore it's a police investigation. I could be had up for contempt of court. What I will say is there was some kind of hand gesture, maybe not the one that's been reported, and that's what they were nicked for and arrested for. There was some kind of threat, allegedly, to a steward, and that's what they were done. But you've got to say, you know, This is the area where we are that creates a lot of the atmosphere to the ground. These are the people that came from Trevor Brooking Lower. These are the people who sing and they stand and they create. And it just seems to be a little bit of, there needs to be a bit of common sense, you know? What's wrong with having a little bit of, you know, is it wrong? Well, let me ask you the question. Is it wrong to have an obscene gestures to the away fans, or is it just part of football? Nigel?
If it's alleged what they've done, come on. It's not the crime of the century, is it? I was sitting upstairs, so I'll just watch them all march in. They brought in about, I think, 10 or 12 security blokes to go down there and have a word with them. You thinking, are yous having a laugh? I don't get... Obviously, I didn't see what they're alleged to have done, but having heard it, I'm thinking, so what? I mean, they're 50 yards away from the Watford fans. It's not like they were going to go and do it anyway. It's just, It's just what happens at football. It's not something I would do, but, you know, come on. It's a bit of a joke, really. When it comes out, and if it comes out, and if they get done for it, then the judicial system's got a problem as well if we're doing people for that. Because, you know, hand gestures, what makes one hand gesture different to another? And that's
well,
what
let,
I
let me
get.
Ask you one other thing, and because I was told as well, not it was it maybe wasn't reported at the time, but a person in the corporate section earlier this season, last season, I don't know, made a Nazi salute in the London Stadium. They were pulled up on it because someone took a picture of it. Is that different?
So what, someone put their arm up?
Well, yeah, in a Nazi salute. They admitted it afterwards, apparently, but and said they were wrong. And a Spurs fan complained.
Was it at the Tottenham game?
Yeah, it probably was, yeah.
What, and a Spurs fan complained about it?
A Spurs fan in the corporate.
In the corporate.
Took a picture.
I'd say, well, what's the corporate Spurs doing in the corporate
well,
for a start?
Yeah, it's a good question.
I mean, you know, I don't know. Me, I'm a live a little sticks and stones man. You know, if you want to slag me off. You know, it's just words. It don't, you know, I'm not condoning. I would never condone violence or whatever. But if the most people are going to do is sling words about and whatever, so be it. I don't know. I don't get why.
I think we've all made a gesture at away fans, haven't we? At least once.
Well, I've made a few at you.
Wait, I'm not being funny.
Go on, John.
How many times away games have you been to away games and have things done to you?
Yeah.
Like on some of the things that have been said to you.
Yeah.
And it's just like, by the home fans, you know, away fans.
Yeah. But it's once called a fat bastard and they sort of blew out their cheeks and went, look at you, and then that bastard.
But they people do it all the time. If you when they get your eye and then they give you all
that's
sorts.
Right.
Someone once called me four eyes when I had my glasses on.
Oh yeah, I remember. Yeah,
but it's just you know, it's part of the sanitisation of everything in society. And if football was going that way, then then all football needs to go that way. Why is it only at our stadium? Is it because they don't use football stewards? It's because they use five different stewarding companies and every week you get different stewards. Is it because they steward mainly other events like concerts or whatever's and they go there and that's their code of conduct? It's not a football... If our owners just said, look, you know what? Sod the expense of how much it costs to run this place for stewards. We'll pay you the same money each year, but we'll cover the cost of the stewarding as well, and we'll put our own stewards in. What a good idea that would be. Get a West Ham stewarding system in place. We wouldn't need any police in the ground, or you'd have a very small amount of police, and we could go back to being a normal football club again.
I mean, we've never had that many stewards at the bowling. I know there's more people, but down in that section...
No.
There's not as many people in that section as there was. Yous used to be Trevor Brook in lower, next to the away fans. There was more people in that section than were in that block. Yeah? Agreed? Now, they seem to have doubled the stewards down there. Ignoring the fact that... I don't know why they've got all the stewards lined up for a start. You've got that bank of empty seats that acts as a buffer. You've got a 20-foot gap where there's like a service tunnel that acts as a buffer. There's another five rows of seats blocked off in the away end. That's another buffer. Yeah. It ain't like they're going to be able to have a punch up.
What are they going to do?
It is.
Yeah. But the steward, but after part of the stewarding, there was the same stewards every week. Everyone, they all knew you. And they'd, if you did something stupid, look, come on. And they'd push you back, get back at you. You know, they would, and you go, yeah, sorry. You'd get, because you get hepped up and you get caught up in it sometimes and you do. And say stupid things.
Yeah.
But that's football. That's the passion of it. Yeah. That's why players get done for saying stupid things to each other on pitches. That's why they spittle each other or grab each other by the throat. It's the
But as a player, it's okay to make obscene hand gestures to fans and not get banned.
Yeah. Well brought back to the Watford game. But yeah.
Well, look,
it's just,
I saw the aftermath.
I saw the aftermath.
I was at the toilet and I come out and I heard this commotion and like 30,000 teenagers had their phones in the air. So, which made me laugh because I thought, I'm not being funny. I just walked up the stairs to get a better look, and I stood on the stairs. And I could, well, I must admit, I did try to film it, but I couldn't work my phone. but I could see they had five old Bill pinning him down. He wasn't resisting arrest. Yeah. Five old Bill. And then another two come walking along.
Yeah, well, one of the guy was in his 50s that I spoke to.
That's and the one I think they had, that I saw.
They were standing right next to me, and they said, they want me. They're after me. They're going to chuck me out. That's exactly what he said.
But if you're of a mind like we are, we've been going for years and doing, you know, if you're stood there and you're engaged in some kind of whatever with the away fans, then all of a sudden you get five or six stewards coming and tell you, just pull it, leave it out, mate, do whatever. Mm. You would tell him, oh, why don't you just fuck off, mate, or whatever.
I've done it.
And then once you've done that, you've crossed the line for them.
Yeah.
Then you're getting your arms on the shoulder and you're getting pulled out.
What did you say? When we were at the Stratford Reservation Centre, we were offered Block 114 right next to the Wayfans. What did you say, John?
I said it's for that exact reason. Yeah. I don't want to spend the whole game having it with your Wayfans.
I don't want the distraction. I want to watch the game.
But you do spend a lot of time having it with the away fans, Dad.
You're a bit of a tearaway. You're on their wanted list, the stewards, aren't they? Lucky you
weren't
there.
Silly boy. Down to Brighton, beat up the
mods. Anyway, I did speak to Amanda Jacks, Dave.
I was a mod.
I know Amanda Jacks is involved, spoken to them and trying to get them legal representation. So maybe we can say more once they've been to court, which is at the beginning of March.
But they're banned now.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Saying that, we ain't got a game until March anyway, so.
Yeah.
But if they're successful in that, you know, when they get put in front of the court, do they get their ban rescinded?
Yeah, they do.
Right. It's the ground again. It's the stewarding again.
Yeah.
Ruining the fan base.
Okay. Moving on. Okay. Sure. Number four. We've got Sullivan interview, Golden Wigan car park interview, board and John's plans update.
Well, let's start with the Sullivan interview because I
watched it today.
Let's start with you because you've only watched it today. What was your opinion? I think we should all give an opinion.
It made me laugh out loud. I was literally sitting having my lunch with my headphones in, and when he mentioned the beer shelves, it literally made me laugh out loud. It's just funny, like, you know, we've made changes, we've given people what they want, you know, we've got beer shelves now. It's just like, is that a joke? It's brilliant. Yeah, it made me cringe, it made me laugh, made me shake my head. It's just lies, isn't it? And Nigel, you called it that. You turned it off as soon as you said David Gull was born in Green Street.
Yeah, another lie. David Gull was born in Stepney, and he didn't go to Green Street till he was about five. So another lie, and it switched it. I did go back and watch it though. I thought, oh, let me go and hear what a prick's got to say, and I was right. He was a prick.
Mm.
Oh, what?
Do you believe he will delegate? I mean, the big thing from me is he says he will delegate out transfers. Do you believe that he will have the biggest video department?
Well, one question I've got is why aren't we doing that already? And why have we got to wait? Why do we wait? What are we waiting for?
Because he watches everything on YouTube at the moment. And he's saying, rather than getting Jack and Dave to do the analysis on YouTube, he's now going to get a proper department. Of
Jack and
of
Danny, by the looks of some of the players we've signed, mate. I'll tell you. I don't know about Jack and Dave. It's a bit of company rhyming slang for you, Jack and Danny.
How about John? John, what did you? I know you're so pro Sullivan. Did you? Did you take anything away from the video?
No, not really.
Did you think it was a good point? Should he have done it, or was it pointless?
Well, if he's going to do it, he should have come out and had something of substance, but he hasn't really. His new analytical system he's going to put in place, which you know, I know, is someone watching videos.
Yeah.
It's just he needed a bit more substance if he was going to do. I mean, and like we said before, anyone who like-minded really realizes that. All of this discontent is not going to achieve a great deal other than a change of something. You're not going to get rid of them all. and he had an opportunity to put sort of start that process, and he didn't really. I think he missed it by a long way.
He said being ambitious is not a crime. He didn't say. He sort of said sorry for being ambitious, but he said being ambitious is not a crime. I want to. So he sort of, when he said people said we made promises and seemed to be focusing on things like Champions League and next level, and he said being ambitious is not a crime, and didn't really focus on any of the other promises.
But in the round, when you look at the whole of it, their ambitious talk was used as a tool to persuade people to sign up to this move. And in that instance, you align those two bits together. Mm-hmm. Their level of ambition has caused a large people to fall in behind them. And in my eyes, that was a crime. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, his ambition was a crime.
I mean, my view is, it's too little too late. And the problem is he's got no credibility now. And it didn't matter what he said in the video. People are going to just say, I'm sorry, we've heard it all before. Actions speak louder than words, or another cliche. It's, what's the word?
Well, that's not another cliche.
Everyone know the pudding. it's in the eating.
Over-egging the pudding.
No, not over-egging the pudding.
Proof of the pudding
in
is
the
in
eating.
The eating.
That is the one, John.
I noticed in your last podcast, you're really good with saying, Sean. Like when you, when
the
you tell
proof
people,
of the
when
John, you're right.
To keep their money in their pocket.
The proof of the pudding is in the eating. And, you know, if he really believes any of the things he said on the video, actions speak louder than words. He needs to show that he's got no involvement in transfers. And
but he can't do that because this is money. This is the thing. He's seeing it like this is his money, so he's going to spend it how he wants.
He puts a budget and gives it over to the gives it over and says, "There's your budget. Spend it how you want." If he's really going to be hands off, that's the way he's got to do it.
Yeah, but then that needs a proper board appointing, then, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But that ain't going to happen.
Well, we'll see. The other one I wanted to mention, I think we've got a bit of disagreement on this, but I watched the David Gold altercation, I'm going to call it, with fans, including Baz Cox, in the Wigan car park. And Baz Cox has released on Twitter video of him and others talking to David Gold. And I don't know, others might see it a different way, and I know George saw it a different way. I thought they were quite aggressive. They were shouting. I know they're passionate. They were quite aggressive. And I know there was no jostling, and that's what they wanted to prove. But I could see it could be seen as intimidating action. Do you not see it that way, George?
Well, I must caveat that I only just watched it before we started recording, and I didn't watch it to the end. But the bits that I saw, yeah, I think it's just passionate people having a passionate conversation, and you know, he's, as a football fan, he should understand and appreciate where people are coming from.
But to be fair to him, he didn't ever say he was jostled. It was Jim Smith saying
he wasn't cowering, was he? He wasn't coward.
No, he wasn't cowering. Have you seen the video, Chuck?
I've seen some of it. Yeah, I didn't watch it all because it was all just pretty shit. But he didn't say he was just giving as good as he was getting. It was heated and there was raised voices, but it wasn't aggressive as. You know, it wasn't like threatening raised voices. There were just people shouting across there to him, whatever. I didn't see a major problem with it.
He's the one I feel sorry for, right? I think Brady and Sullivan, it's their bed, they should lie in it. A little bit more cliche. But Gold, I think, is almost like the elder statesman. He's been very professional. He hasn't mouthed off. He's said some silly things on Twitter, agreed, and I think he should come off.
Not on television.
But I think he, you know, his heart's in the right place.
George, Sean, one of the major videos of use at any time about this move has been his video stood there.
Yeah, I agree.
In the ground saying, well, now seats can't be any further than this.
I know. And that was silly.
Or
on
we
hindsight.
Wouldn't go. Or we wouldn't go. See, yeah. The thing is, he can turn around and go, well, they told me the wrong information. They didn't stand there with a gun to his head and say that these seats will be like this or we wouldn't go. He used that phrase, or we wouldn't go. But guess what? We went. And when he made that comment, they'd already... And what people tend to forget is the first bid that West Ham were going to buy the stadium or be joint owners of the stadium, own 50% of it,
there was going to be no retractable seating. They were happy with the seats.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, pushed back all the way. The first bid, there was no retractable seating whatsoever. All the seats would have been left in Olympic mode, and they kept bleating on about, oh, the view's about as good as Wembley, and the sight lines are brilliant. People forget that. They focus on, oh, we were going to own it, and they forget that when we were going to own it, the stadium was actually going to be worse than it is now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Well, we wouldn't have owned it. It was still a lease, but, well, but I think they would have been forced into putting proper retractable seating in. But I just feel, I'm not his apologist. I'm not making excuses for him. Out of the three of them, I think he deserves the least amount of grief.
Do you know That's Sullivan like saying deserves... out of Hitler, Stalin and Mussolini. I think Mussolini weren't too bad because he made the trains run on time.
good analogy. Good analogy.
Bit more extreme, but yeah.
No, I got one.
Only thinking as many of his own people as the other two. I like Mussolini.
Going back to John's plan, right? John's plan has gone down quite well. I've got one addition to John's plan, which we've talked about before.
So it's gone down quite well with whom?
Well, with listeners. They say we like John's plan. Twitterati, yeah. And Facebook. I've got one addition. Could we add it to your plan? Because it is your plan.
Right, go on.
Could we have a fan on the board, please? And could you add that to your plan, John?
If you really think so, if you think it's necessary, there's not many. David not many. Yeah,
we've got two fans in charge now. What?
Yeah, look at the mess.
But I think there should be. I think there should be, and a few other clubs do this. I can't remember, but there's a Premier League.
There's not many. There's not many, Sean.
But I do think there should be a fan on the board. If there's one thing they should learn from this, and I know some of the board have discussed this before and it was turned down, I think that out of this, they should pick a fan or...
What is a fan on the board going to achieve? In all seriousness, what's it going to achieve? Nothing. Having a fan sitting in the room ain't going to achieve anything. He's just going to have to sit there and listen to them talk shit.
Oh, don't be sexist. It could be a she.
Well, if we want team mate, that's fine. Sorry, Mum.
Sean, you won't need anyone to do that. Brady's out the back doing that.
Oh. Sean, anything to add?
Cat number four.
Yeah. Not really. I mean, the board want to reinvent themselves. But I don't know. They've just called a SAB meeting, which I've been invited
Boycott
to.
The SAB.
It's on the 28th.
Boycott the SAB.
28th of February.
Do not justify him. Don't go. That's what I say to you, and I say to any SAB
leaders. It's a good. I think you might have a point, and I'll make a decision next week. I haven't.
I'd be surprised that if they ever did like one of their blogger meeting that any of the bloggers ever went again.
Well, you'll be surprised.
The egos have landed. You're having a laugh, aren't you?
Don't.
Dave Walker will be there. I'll tell you.
Yeah. Oh, John, I told you not to mention the war.
I was nice about him last week.
I mentioned it once. I got away with it.
How many more? And then he turns around and blocks me as a troll.
Oh dear, John. Move on.
How many points do we need to be safe, and how many will we get? We touched on that earlier. I think we need three more wins. Does anybody else think anything different? Sean, what do you think, Sean?
Although I don't cook the board anymore, a senior source did tell me that they thought that we need 37 points to be safe this season. And earlier we did a Clarence Hume.
You ain't going to get that. We've only got 11 games left.
I was going to say that.
It's only 36 games up for grabs.
Yeah, I didn't think I was strong enough.
Right, and the popular vote seems to be
just carry on, Sean.
29% safe, 43.
Keep calm and carry on.
43 and 45 points. Do you agree with that?
Did you do a Clarence Hume poll? Did you?
Yeah.
Does anybody still read it?
Yeah, we do. We're getting good figures.
What's the poll about?
Do you think we will? Do you think we're...
It's all a bit silly.
And do you think we'll get 45 points?
No, we've only got 11 games left.
No.
Yeah, but we've got 33 points available.
Sean, how's the Billy Bonds auction going?
Yeah, I reckon...
The Billy Bonds auction is going very well. Thank you for asking.
We should just move on, you know.
Oh, dear.
We've got over £1,000 of bids for the 9 auctions, and it's ending on Valentine's night. So if you want to buy your girlfriend or wife or mistress a nice little Billy Bonds, it's from his personal collection. There's a link on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/morethanjustapodcast. Bidding finishes at 6 o'clock on Valentine's night. Please donate and bid generously, and you can have a piece of West Ham Billy Bonds history.
And get your money out of your pocket.
Yeah, get your money out of your pocket.
It's time for this. What's that noise?
Someone laughing.
It wasn't.
Is that my chair creaking?
I don't know what
I think it was. Sorry about that. I was dancing to Facebook, Twitter, question time. So
we've seen your dancing large, don't we?
Oh, I can bust some moves. Don't you worry about that.
Who was it earlier? I couldn't see who it was. Podcasting tonight around 8 PM. On the running order is the win over Watford. How many points West Ham need to be safe this season? Trouble in block 114. Basically everything we just talked about.
It was a running order, basically.
Send in your questions, statements of fact, or just a shout out for the podcast. And we've got quite a few.
The viewing figures are going through the roof. I must say, Dave Walker got it all wrong when he said we only had 8 listeners. I'm telling you.
Just relax, Salty.
All right.
Nick Harvey says,
calm down.
I'm going to make a couple of points this week. On the pitch, as we knew, our outfit makes a big difference. A pleasing performance, 10 points to go. Oh, he thinks we need 10. Baroness Brady of Hypocrisy stated in her Sun column on the 3rd of Feb 2018, censorship is a terrible, insidious, dangerous thing. It is never, ever a good idea, and we should all be very wary. Yet she and the board continue to instruct stewards home and away to remove banners which are critical of the board. Her actions rarely match her words, which is why we can never believe anything she says.
Thoughts?
Saka.
I do know that she has asked stewards on away grounds through West Ham staff to remove the banners, yeah. And I know some away stewards have refused.
Joseph Barr says, do you believe any of the statements? Go on then. You should have jumped in then.
Sorry. I thought he was coughing himself out there. I was waiting for him to kill over, sort of at the end. But in 2010, I spent £200 to have a flag made. Say no to Olympic Stadium. After being told 4 times that that flag can no longer be shown in the ground, I got an email to say that if I do it again, I'll be banned. So he's listening to what the bloke put there, he was spot on about censorship, and I'd forgot about that. That my flag was banned from the bowling ground, and I got threatened with a ban as well. And I think the only reason they didn't ban me was because I was sitting on the SAB at the time. So,
which is where you met me.
Which is where I, yeah.
And the rest is history. Joseph Bart says, do any of you believe any of the statements Sullivan talked about in his interview? I'm guessing no. Shedman will think it's all bollocks.
Yes, bollocks. It is.
I think we covered that already. I don't think any of us believe any of it, do we? Tim Sharman says, do you boys agree with the plan, March? If so, will you be joining? Sean, are you joining the march?
So I believe that it's everyone's right to join the march. I'm not personally marching for two reasons. One, I think it would be slightly hypocritical because of my involvement with the board, etc., and to be on it will just look hypocritical. The second, quite practical, my son does sports on a Saturday morning, and I can't get there for 11:30 anyway. So, I only get there about 2:30 and got the kids that weekend. So I believe that everyone should make their own decision and join in the march. I personally can't make it, and I would think it would be hypocritical for me to join it. How about you, George?
I'll be joining because one of the criteria I had was that the march had to be in March. So since it's
you did say that, actually.
I will join the march. I also think, we need to be there as a voice of some of the fans. So we need to be there to report on what goes on and see it through our own eyes, I think. I think that's another reason we'll definitely be joining. And I think, it's a show of strength amongst the fans. We are united still. And I think it will be the start of a hopeful change. John, are you going?
Yeah, I intend to go. I think it's got a complete momentum now. I like the idea that lots of other groups and all things are sort of coming under the one banner. There's talk of sort of changing it afterwards to a different name and action group and whatever. But yeah, I think feeling the way I do and have done since they took over and they proposed this move, I think it'd be, as Sean has said, it's probably a bit of a hypocritical thing for him to do to join this march at this point, but I think it would be the other way for me if I didn't join it, because all the stuff I've said and done over the thing, I think I need to go on it, and I will be there.
Yeah, you have been constant, John. I will say that.
No, you're not bothering, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm not going on the march. Twofold. I've got friends coming over from America for the game, so I didn't want to take them on the march. But to be honest, and I will be honest, if they weren't coming over, I wouldn't have joined the march. The reasons are that I hear a lot of people saying, we want our club back. They want to get the owners out. I want the owners out. I want them gone. But we ain't going to get no club back. I did my protest in 2010, 2011, 2012. I did my best. It was to no avail. The move happened. And I don't know, to be honest. I hope they get a good crowd. And perhaps it is hypocritical of me to sit here and say, I hope they get a good turnout while not turning out. But I just felt that I did my protesting years ago and it got me nowhere. And to be fair, I'll probably go and have a beer.
50% yes, 50% no. I noticed, by the way, that X and the West Ham Way have got a
event. Perhaps we go
with Dean Ashton. Do you reckon?
With Dean Ashton.
Oh, yes.
And sort of X has been saying, well, we've been wanting to get Dean Ashton. We might want to do something for it. But, it's the only day we could get him.
Sounds good to me.
Isn't it?
Dave Altsick's good mates with X. Perhaps I'll say to Dave. Dave, do you fancy the West Ham Way?
John Borum says, is anyone else a tad confused that we got another left-sided player in when it's obvious to most that we need a central defensive midfielder as a matter of urgency? Anyone else confused? I think Everett was a strange side. We haven't addressed Everett, have we?
We haven't addressed the Evra signing, no.
Well done, John. Well done, John Boreham. It's a very strange one, wasn't it? Does anyone else think otherwise?
Yeah, I think it was strange.
What, to get a Kung Fu kick person, allegedly on $75,000 a week. I'm not sure I believe that. I mean, I don't know if he's got his legs in him anymore. I know Bellamy's come out, and who else came out and said something? Bellamy and someone else, and said, don't see the point of it. I mean, we've yet to see whether he can contribute something or whether he's just a bench warmer.
Yeah, well, he's a squad player. He's not going to be a starter, is he? But you know, how old is he? 36, is he?
Yeah, he's 36.
I mean, it's, yeah.
So perhaps we use him in the cups. Oh.
Well, Moyes came out and defended him and said, because at the time he did the Kung Fu kick, it was allegedly that they said, because you know he makes these funny videos on Instagram, it was said, you're shit, Evra. Get out of Marseille and go and make your videos. Leave football. And then he did his Kung Fu kick.
That's a completely okay reason to kick someone in the face.
Yeah, but Moyes said...
Well, we're safe, we're too far away. Go on.
Moyes said, oh, no, he's told me the reason and you would understand it, but refused to reveal it. And I spoke to someone at the club and they said, oh, it's a private conversation between Pat, as they call him, and David and...
Pat? You know, who's Pat?
Patrice.
Oh,
that's what they call him, Pat.
Son. Oh.
I wondered if they were going to do like they did with Masuaku, really. I thought they might be pushing Creswell up and playing him behind. But that didn't happen, did it? So I thought they were trying to make...
Well, they reckon Pat's not fit yet. Pat's not match fit yet. He's only got 11, there's only 11 matches left. You have to get fit soon.
Jack Ahern says, is Chicharito starting to win you over with his performances in the last few games? He's scored 3 in the last 4. Yeah. Would you like to see him around next season or happy to see him go? Now, I will proudly say that I've always liked Chicharito, and when anyone's spoken about him leaving, I've said, no, keep him, keep him, keep him. There's a place for him in any team. And I've been proven right in the last 4 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, he is starting to play well, certainly with Arnautović.
Be interesting to see when Lanzini comes back, how he and what he does and how he jiggers it about. Does that Mario get dropped?
So how do we think he's been performing? I think he's been all right, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think he's done all right. Good.
He ain't 40 million quid's worth all right, though, is he?
No, he's not. Let's be honest. But he's working hard and he does
contributes,
well.
Doesn't he? And I just think... the fact that he's gone at the end of the season, he'd be the one to be dropped out of the team, wouldn't he? I would imagine.
Yep. A long one from Paul Sanders tonight. Let me just pick out the best bit.
Oh, the poor bloke, he's wrote all that.
We can't read all that, though. We'll be here all night.
It's longer than the Clary Hugh article, that one.
Finally,
enjoy the podcast, he says.
Yeah, I'm going to read that bit. Enjoying the podcast. Come on, you Irons. Andrew Johnson says, probably more by luck than
John. Oh, you can't do that. He took an hour to type that out on his iPhone 4.
Go on, then. You read it, Nigel. No. You read it.
I'll skim it. Oh, fuck. I've lost it. Oh, no. Sorry. Here we go. Got it back. Couple of points. 36 to 37 would be enough. He thinks Baggies, Saints and Stokes are going. He's looking forward to Lanzini. He knows it's congested. There's 5 or 6 points. So far, we've managed 1 point between them, but he don't see anything changing much. We won't battle with Europe. He says he thinks the atmosphere is a lot better. He's in the Bobby Moore lower in near the far right corner. Ooh, don't make no hand signals if you're in the far right. row 14. And he thinks the coast-to-coast IPA is a nice change to Carlsberg. Yeah, you're boring us with your real owl shit now. I'd like to see Brady Godwin with all. If Sue Goat can bring a professional team to run the club, don't hold your breath. Blah, blah, blah. Finally, is there a position for Michael Antonio who hasn't played apart from goalkeeper and centre half? Well, there's two. You just answered
Michael,
your own question.
He calls him Michael.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Enjoying the podcast. Come on, you Irons.
Thanks, Paul. Well done, Nigel.
Andrew Johnson says, probably more by luck than judgment. The club has stumbled on a manager who is a clear keeper. Over-dependence on three players needs addressing this summer. Difficult to account for the rollover at the MX.
Yeah, it was Chris Hitch- weird.
That Chris was Hitchcock weird. Says, assuming we stay up, who are our top five must-keeps? And our, must, our top five must-can-goes? From listener number 9 in Melbourne.
Hey.
Thanks, Chris.
Well, they're getting squad numbers now.
Yeah, we should have
we could do a squad list.
got to keep Lanzini and Arnautovic as two of them.
Lanzini, Arnautovic, Antonio, Chicharito, and...
Ginge.
Really?
Yeah. He said five keeps, though, so that's Adrian, Joe Hart, Rafael Spiegel. I don't know the other
you
two.
You can't
keepers.
Name two other keepers.
Well, no, we've got some under 23 keepers.
Must cannon goes.
Can goes.
Must goes. Anyone must? Any must goes?
David Sullivan, David Gold, Callum Brady. Who else?
There's no must goes jumping out at me.
Well, you know, it was.
Evra.
I was going to say Patrice Evra.
Pat. Sorry.
Clark Hoy says, when will the club learn that signing former world-class players for one final payday is a bad idea? Surely we can put that alongside signing players from teams getting relegated and players who break when kicking a ball. Have we ever signed...
Perhaps we're playing FIFA like 2011.
Have we ever signed... player coming to the end of the career that has succeeded. I give you Teddy Sheringham.
Liam Brady.
Stuart Pearce.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
There's three.
I was going to say Teddy
Burn, Ian Wright.
Liam Brady was probably the best one.
He was mustard, mate. He was absolute. That, I mean, how many players have scored a goal with their last kick in football?
I don't know.
Liam Brady. I can think of two. Liam Brady and Pat Holland.
And Teddy Sheringham.
What, with his last kick in football, Teddy Sheringham?
We're still talking about signings. Freddie Ljungberg, what a signing. What a signing. Roger Ribeiro says, a shout out to everyone on the podcast from Western Australia. One more listener from Nova Overseas.
G'day, mate. G'day,
Roger.
G'day.
Is it
G'day,
Ripper?
Roger. How's your Sheila?
Find some shrimps on the barbie.
That's a bit presumptuous, Sean.
Gary Prince says, David Sullivan said the stadium is not perfect. What should the board do to improve the match day experience? Where do you start?
Well, they should.
I've got an idea. And this will work.
When it's ready.
This is a short-fired worker. You could actually rebuild the bowl in inside the upper tier and fit everyone in. How good would that be? It would fit. If you rebuilt the bowl in inside the upper tier, around the pitch, we could all fit in again. 40,000, thank you very much. And we'd still be in Stratford like they wanted, but we'd be inside the bowling as well.
I think there should be Pop-Tarts. I mean, we've got popcorn, we've got slush puppies. If we could have Pop-Tarts, a little store with Pop-Tarts, I think that would really improve the match
Pop-Tarts
day experience.
At a football ground show, when you burn your mouth, they'd get sued.
Oh, yeah, good point.
I had popcorn at the
How about
the
toasties?
Game Saturday.
Yeah. You did have popcorn. I saw a picture of you eating popcorn.
No!
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It weren't salted.
Is that
though.
True?
Yeah, it
Unlike
was.
You.
I did. yeah. 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 No, it was a joke picture. It wasn't mine. I nicked it off the kid next to me.
Keith Ree says, reading David Sullivan's comments about changing the structure of our recruitment and scouting, etc., it does not seem at present we have any policies of any merit. I agree. His new ideas are what we should be doing now as standard. Yes, Keith said that earlier. David Sullivan must be kept away from all recruitment and team matters. Yes. Does anyone disagree?
No.
Lewis Ehrenchout said, isn't it typical that every time we get a win or we lose, the teams at the bottom go and beat a big boy so we can never actually pull away? I think we need more than 40 points to survive. What is really grating on me is that the fact that players can use a middle finger gesture and blatantly dive, yet receive no punishment, unlike one of ours. Yes, Lewis, I said that earlier.
Yeah,
we agree.
I mean, that Troy Deeney one was a joke. He was clearly doing it to the Chelsea fans. Like,
Massively. Yeah, but ain't that allowed?
Well, clearly it is.
Well, there you go. I don't get all this about they pick on us and they let them off. Just get on doing what you do. Let them do what they do, and it all evens itself out in the end.
Well, it don't really. There's only been two bannings for diving this season, and it's been us and Everton. But there's been plenty of dives that, you know, hasn't been given a ban. So
yeah, but it was a dive though.
Well,
you can't complain. It ain't about the others. You say he dived, he got a ban, quite rightly so. You pull them up on the ones that they're not pulling them up. You don't complain that they've only done us, like it's some complex they've got against us.
Yeah, no, yeah, but that's what I mean. It just does seem, why do they not do, like, I mean, that Troy Deeney thing, there's other players that have had long bans for making gestures at fans. He actually said he was doing it to his own fans.
It wasn't. But he clearly did it in the away end. And also, Dele Alli got a games ban for doing it to a teammate as a joke.
Yeah, that was stupid.
Anyway, yeah, it's not a swearing gesture podcast. Adam Ross Miller says, just a shout out from me if possible. Long-term listener, love the podcast. And I have to say, I always find it a good informative podcast of the week's goings on with the club and matches as I'm often unavailable to attend and keep up with some of the stuff that goes on. He agrees with the board out, but he can't help think he might have judged the Moyes appointment. He was hugely against it at the time, but he isn't doing a worse job than Bilic in the last season of calamities and poor results. Keep up the good work. Come on, you Irons. Thanks, Adam.
How'd you do a shout-out? Just out of curiosity. I mean, when I go, give us a shout-out.
Yeah, big up yourself.
Do we go, Adam? Do we do that? Or
is that... Yeah, you just... Yeah.
So there'll be people listening to this falling asleep, and now there'll be...
Yeah, well, that'll get Alice. It's
about 30% are about to switch off now.
Yeah. And I think that's it on Facebook. And
I'm looking at Twitter. Taylor Street said earlier this week, in reply to David, Jesus, that David guy from New York you interviewed was insufferable. He's knowledgeable and obviously passionate. But his sanctimony about pornography and just the unbridled arrogance he carried himself with a set of teeth on edge. I can't even speak. And as a fellow American, why do we always feel the need to prove our credentials by talking about eating pie and mash? However, there is an update to this, isn't there?
There is, yes. Sorry, do you want me to do the update?
Yeah.
If you can actually read and speak
Taylor
out in English.
Taylor got in touch two days ago. Follow-up. Turns out David from New York is a pretty effing cool guy. We have our disagreements about whether the Davids are more stupid or malicious, but they turn out to be minor discrepancies. Moral of the story, you can meet someone interesting. You can meet some interesting people by being an arsehole. There you go. Everyone's friends now.
Did you see the other one as well? Came today.
This is addressed to David Hautzig. Hautzig.
Well done. Hautzig.
Dave Hautzig. Hautzig.
Hautzig.
It's A-U. Hautzig.
Hautzig. Hautzig.
He says, I gave him on his podcast Hautzig. A listen on the way out to MA for work. Is that Massachusetts? Well done. A good representation for us fans stateside. I'm relatively new to podcasts. It was surprising to hear someone from my neck of the woods make an appearance. And his neck of the woods is somewhere I don't know. That's it from Facebook question time. So all that's left for us now, as we approach an hour, which was our target for timings, predictions for Liverpool away, not this weekend, the weekend after. I'm going to go a 3-1 loss.
Ooh.
Sean?
1-0 win at Anfield.
Nah. John?
A draw, 1-1. I'm full of optimism here.
And Nigel, please.
The Liverpool curse continues. We're going to lose 3-4-0.
Oh, really?
Salah and Firmino. You know that other top goal scoring duo, apart from Lanzini and
the best, the second best duo in the Premier League.
Second best duo in the Premier League that have scored about 35 goals each more than ours have. Them, I think, will score a lot of goals.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's it for Mordor's podcast this week. I've been George. Sean has been
gone.
What? Say that again.
John has been
covering for Sean today, as ever.
Nigel has been
a troll to Dave Walker.
Let it go.
Salty, I would just say.
Thanks for listening. Come on, you irons.
Come on, you irons.
Come on, you irons. Bye.
Bobby Moore, more than just a podcast. Bobby Moore, more than just a podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.